Welcome. I'm Chaplain Phil Mihalik, Senior Catholic Priest here at Fort Sam Houston, Greater San Antonio, Texas. And I'm glad you're able to join with us today as we continue our series called Faith in the Crosshairs. If you should have any questions or concerns that you might like me to address in the future, please send them to me, my email address, philip.a.mahalic@us.army.mil. This email address, along with Frontline Faith email address, will be on your screen at the beginning and end of this presentation. Our topic for today is your very own dream. There is a story told, and this is a true story. In the early 1880s, a group of students who wished to attend college but didn't have the finances, sounds a little familiar, approached a man by the name of Dr. Russell Conwell. And they asked him if he would consider giving them lessons at his home. He told him to come back the next day and he would think about it. Well, for the next 24 hours, he did think about it. He thought to himself, why not? Why not found a college for deserving young folks who could not afford the finances of other colleges or have the time required to take the regular classes? Dr. Conwell went all over the country and the world speaking on behalf of this idea. And he was so successful that he was able to raise millions of dollars and founded Temple University in 1884. At each of his talks, Dr. Conwell always told the same story, even though many in his audience knew what the story was. They loved to hear him tell it. It was called Acres of Diamonds, and it went like this. There was once an African farmer. This African farmer had heard stories about other farmers who had made millions of dollars by discovering diamond mines. Well, the farmer was so excited about these stories that he could hardly wait to sell his own farm and go prospecting for diamonds himself. He finally sold his farm and spent the rest of his life wandering the continent of Africa, searching unsuccessfully for his own diamond mine. He died a very old man who was penniless and broke. But meanwhile, the man who had bought his farm, while crossing a small creek one day, saw a flash of blue and red light from the stream's bottom. He picked up the stone that reflected this light, and he took it home with him. He just thought it was pretty. A few weeks later, a friend of his saw the stone in the farmer's house and asked him if he knew what he had found. The visitor told him it was one of the largest diamonds he had ever seen. The farmer said that his creek was full of stones just like this one. This farm turned out to be the famous Kimberley Diamond Mine. The first farmer had owned free and clear literally acres of diamonds, but had sold them for practically nothing in order to look for them someplace else. Many times our greatest treasures are to be found right where we are. We just need to be patient and take the time to look for them. Very often we may find what we are looking for right in our own backyard. Right now, you may be sitting in a remote fob in Afghanistan, but if you make the most of your time, you will find without a doubt that you are in a very opportunistic position. Perhaps. No, not perhaps, for certain. You are. Right now, this very minute, sitting right in the middle of your very own acres of diamonds. They are not to be found within a river or a stream, but rather within yourself. Remember, diamonds never look like diamonds in the rough state. They are only formed under tremendous pressure. The same is true of our very own gifts and talents. They may not look like much until we take them and develop them into what they were created to be. All the potential in the world that you need can be found right within yourself. You know, in the story of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, we are told that the coming of the Holy Spirit allowed all to hear the story of the life and death of Jesus in their own languages. We might say that Pentecost is really the story of the unexpected. The folks who saw what happened to the disciples could not make out what was going on. Even the disciples themselves were surprised at what was happening. They really never had any thought that things would turn out this way. And you know, that's the way life is. When we look at our deployments, usually they turn out to be something totally different from what we had anticipated. Just when you think you have everything figured out, our God surprises us with something that we never, ever expected. There is little doubt that the Holy Spirit made a difference in the lives of the apostles. And it happened after 50 days of the resurrection. Now think about that. All of a sudden, the apostles were courageous, and they were able to face whatever came their way. But it didn't happen all at once. It took a while. Yet Pentecost is not merely an occasion for remembering another event in the life of the church. It is not just the time that we look back on the day when the church was born, or on the day when the disciples finally were graduating, so to speak. They were being remade from the inside out. Pentecost is what I like to call a movable feast, and it happens every time our God speaks to us and through us. The Holy Spirit is the immediate presence of God in our lives today. The Holy Spirit is the power by which we live today and every day of our lives. There is an old expression which says, "Rejoice, for today is the first day of the rest of your life." And we all know that every day deployed is different. Soon as we bring our men and women in uniform home, things will become different as each of you goes your separate way. Some will go on to further education or continue in the service, some to command positions within our military, and perhaps some into the civilian market. But wherever you go, your life will never be the same as it is now. You are right now and in the future facing choices, choices which only you can make. Apparently, so far, you have made good choices which have brought you to this point in your lives. You have come a long way, but the fact is you are only just beginning. I think we are all only and always just beginning. Beginning to learn, beginning to live, beginning to grow, and beginning to love. It's a long process, and I'm not sure that we ever really finish. But that's not important. What is important is that we do the best we can along the way. Most soldiers, men and women in uniform, as they return from a deployment, are usually ready, and you know this, to take the world by storm. And I think that's a good thing. Naturally, we all want to be successful. I don't think there's any question about that. But there are some things in life which are more important than being successful. Mother Teresa was asked once, and you've probably heard this before, if she considered herself to be successful. Her answer, she said, "I was not called to be successful. I was called to be faithful." Shakespeare's advice was somewhat similar: "To thine own self be true." When I speak to you, our men and women in uniform, I know for sure that I am speaking to the shakers and movers of the past, the present, and the future. You know, there is a big difference between growing older and growing up. Anybody can grow older. That's no trick at all. But the idea is to grow up by always finding opportunities in the midst of change. Here's a fact for you. Growing older is mandatory. Growing up is optional. The wisdom that you are acquiring along the way tells you that you get the best efforts from others, not by lighting a fire beneath them, but by building a fire within them. And in the process, you burn with passion yourself. A good leader inspires people to have confidence in their leader. A great leader inspires people to have confidence in themselves. As you make your way home, you will come upon all kinds of people and circumstances. Some I call the possibility thinkers. They will tell you that you can be anything that you want to be. They will tell you that if you can see it, you can be it. Now, I don't want to put your self-image down or anything like that. But the fact is, you can't be anything you want to be. No matter how hard you try or how deeply your desire is, there are simply some things that just are not going to happen for you. For instance, I don't care how hard Michael Jordan tries or how much he desires it, and this is a fact, he will never be a very good ballet dancer. Or for that matter, he will never be a very good racehorse jockey. The Army used to have a slogan which said, "Be all you can be." And now we are Army Strong. And do you know what? Our God will help you to be all you can be. And He will help you to be strong. But He isn't going to help you to be someone else. Every person listening today, no matter what your age, needs to have a goal, a vision, a dream. It is said that the poorest of all people is not the one without a nickel in his pocket. He is the one without a dream in his heart. To become that person that God created you to be, you have to have a dream. And you need to have a passion for your dream. And don't be afraid to dream in technicolor. If I were to ask you what you want most out of life, most folks would answer that they just want to be happy. Pretty logical. Well, I have a flash for you. There is no happiness for you. There is no happiness for you unless you have that dream and follow that dream with passion. You have to follow wherever it is our God is calling you to be. Yes, you have to have that dream, but it has to be your dream. You can't live your dad's dream, or your mom's dream, or someone else's dream. T.S. Eliot once said, "Whatever you think, be sure that it is what you think." He also said, "Whatever you want, be sure that it is what you want." Whatever you feel, be sure it is what you feel. You can't be influenced by the outside world. It is easy for us, especially at a young age, to be drawn into someone else's dream. For instance, from the fourth grade through the eighth grade, I played the clarinet. Now, I didn't really want to, and I was never very good at it. As a matter of fact, I never learned to read notes at all. I used to kind of fake it. Well, when I graduated from eighth grade, the music teacher told me that in high school, I really needed to go out for football. It's got to be your dream. You were meant to lead. You were meant to lead your life, not just to accept your life. And if your dream doesn't fit in with what everyone else thinks, you know what? That's too bad. Don't worry about what anyone else thinks, and don't compare your journey with anyone else's. You are a unique person, and so is your journey. When you compare yourself with those superior, you feel inferior. When you compare yourself with those inferior, you feel superior. But when you stop comparing yourself to others, you feel empowered. Empowered to become that person you know you were created to be. There is an old expression, and it's so true. When you like what you do for a living, you never have to work a day in your life. This is how our God created us to live. Remember, in life, it's not the wealth that we build up or the things that we may possess or we have or have acquired. These things are not important. It's what we are on the inside that makes all of the difference in the world. At this very moment, you are each sitting right in the middle of your very own acres of diamonds. All the potential in the world is there. All you need do is to supply the passion. Will it be easy? Probably not. But nothing in life that's worthwhile ever is. Pursue that dream. Hang in there and persist. If it is where our Father is calling you to be, it will happen for you. Right now, as a military person, we are really sitting in the best of three different worlds. One of my favorite poems, called The Ragged Old Flag, will best explain what I mean. And it goes like this. I walked through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, "Your old courthouse is kind of run down." He said, "It'll do for our little town." I said, "Your old flagpole is leaning a little bit. That's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it." He said, "Have a seat." And I sat down. "Is this the first time you've been to our little town?" I said, "I think it is." He said, "I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burns the night that Francis Scott Key sat writing and watching, 'Oh, say, can you see?' And it got a bad rip in New Orleans, Packingham and Jackson tugging at its seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo. Besides the Texas flag. But she waved on, though. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville. And she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee and Beauregard and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea and Vietnam. She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waved from our ships upon the briny foam, and now in many places they've about quit waving her back here at home. In her own good land here she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, refused. And the government for which she stands has at times been scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting bed threadbare and she's wearing thin. But she's in good shape for the shape she's in. 'Cause she's been through the fire before. And I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning, and we take her down every night. We don't let her touch the ground, and we fold her up right. On second thought, I do like to brag, 'cause I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag. And here we are, serving God, serving country, and serving family, all at the same time. I'll tell you what, it doesn't get any better than that. As your life goes on, continue to follow your dream. Continue to become the person God has created you to be. In a country that you have made and are keeping free. God bless all of you, and God bless America.